1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police have cleared protesters from campus at UCLA, arresting hundreds after a volatile 2 days of demonstrations. But some students say they're not done.
It's not about me. It's about everybody. You know, if I'm free, then what does that mean if my brothers and sisters in Palestine aren't free? It's for everybody. So free Palestine.
Former President Trump was back in court today in New York as testimony resumed in his hush money trial. He could get hit with more gag order violations.
They have no case, but we have a very conflicted judge, unfortunately, and so you never know.
Arizona's Governor Katie Hobbs is getting her pen ready to officially sign away a highly restrictive abortion law after state lawmakers voted to repeal it. CBS's Skylar Henry reports.
Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs is expected to sign the measure. That would make a 2022 statute forbidding abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy Arizona's prevailing law.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about flowing bodies of water, a.k.a. rivers. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. School is canceled in Mount Horeb, where a would-be school shooter put the community on high alert Wednesday. Gunshots prompted local schools to lock down for several hours. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call.
We currently believe that there is no ongoing threat to public safety. But again, this is an ongoing investigation, and we will update the public if any additional threat to safety is discovered.
Law enforcement shot and killed the shooter, who was reported to be a student at the school. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning online shoppers about scams. DATCAP recommends making sure everything's in order before entering personal information on any website. DATCAP says you should pay close attention to typos or other irregularities. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Construction on Highway 13 in Marathon County is underway with detours this week. The road is closed and detoured at Highway 153 heading south. Governor Evers approved an $8.6 million contract to improve Wisconsin 13 between the village of Spencer and the city of Colby. Drivers can expect single lane closures, flagging operations, and full road closures. Detours will utilize Highways 97, 153, and 29. The project should be completed by the fall of 2024. Yard waste collection will take place next week in the city of Wisconsin Rapids. You'll need to use large paper yard waste bags. Plastic is not accepted. You can get the large paper bags at local retail and hardware stores. You need to call the city garage to be placed on the list for collection. Pickups will happen next week. Call the city garage before May 6th at 715-421-8218. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks in Game 6. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the Pacers in Indy for Game 6 in their best-of-seven series. Milwaukee down 3-2 to the Pacers. Giannis and Damian Lillard, again listed as doubtful for tonight's game. Baseball. The Brewers' Willy Adames hit 2 home runs against his former team, the Tampa Bay Rays. One in the third, another in the seventh inning. Jeff Levering on Bally Sports.
Adames, center field, Rosarena back again.
The Brewers went on to win 7-1 to win the series. Manager Pat Murphy serving a 2-game suspension following Tuesday night's contest, so his assistant, Ricky Weeks, took over.
How soon in the day did you find out you were going to be managing this one?
About 20 minutes before the game. It's okay.
That's the Brewers' Ricky Weeks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered showers, even a few isolated thunderstorms later this afternoon into tonight. And the rain could be a little heavy at times. A half inch or more possible by the time it winds down late tonight. 59 our high today, 49 tonight. Tomorrow, sunshine. and warmer with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this May 4th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with Anna Mitchell, UW-Madison Extension Wood County's Regional Natural Resource Educator. Right now, we have with us in studio our friend, Danita Carlson, Director of Operations with the Dove's Nest, the Alex C. Dove Foundation, I should say. We're going to talk about Dove's Nest and this great event that they have coming up. Danita, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Always nice to talk with you. Always nice to talk about the Alex C. Dove Foundation. We take a little, we love all of our nonprofits and all the organizations out here we have time for on our radio station. This one is a little close to our hearts as we got to work with everybody early in the early stages of this. And to see where we are now, it's just so beautiful. It's just such a wonderful and impactful thing. And for those that may not know out there, can we let them know what the Alex C. Dove Foundation is?
Sure. Just going back a little bit, what Alex's story is in 2016, at the age of 21, Alex was diagnosed with grade 4 glioblastoma brain cancer. And while he was going through surgery and endless chemotherapy and radiation treatments, he really just always stayed positive. And even with those challenges, he was able to graduate from UW-Whitewater. And also, he would go up to his grandparents' cottage during that time. And it was just a place for the whole family to rest and relax and have fun together. And at one point, Alex had said, it would be so nice for people who are like me going through treatments to have a free place to rest and relax like I have. And from that conversation, Alex and his dad had talked about starting the foundation. And then the family all got together. And while Alex was still living, the foundation was actually started. And so if I'm not mistaken, in 2019, Alex passed away, I believe it was in March, and then in August of 2019, Dove's Nest was purchased, and they are located, the cabin itself is located on Lake Camelot in the town of Rome, and it is beautiful.
Thank you, Danita, for that. I appreciate the synopsis there. With this organization, we are very fortunate, especially here in the state of Wisconsin. We got a lot of great people. We have a lot of good nonprofits covering a lot of bases. But as Alex knew, there are some gray areas. There are some things that slip through the cracks. And being able to give individuals that are dealing with this and families that are dealing with situations like this some peace of mind, something to look forward to, a place to go, something like that is not something that, to be honest, I think a lot of us would have thought of. It takes somebody in those shoes to be able to think of that. I can't think of many better tributes to his legacy and to his family than not only promoting this event, but making sure that this event sticks around for many, 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 many years to come. It's such a beautiful thing to be a part. I mean, we're not really necessarily a part of it, but just even getting to talk about it and the chance to have you guys on the radio, we feel special just touching on this. I can't imagine for you, the team, all the work that you guys put into this, the feelings that you get from something like this. It's got to be a beautiful experience.
It is. I truly feel blessed to be a part of the organization. And I am the one who has contact with all of the families. And It's multiple contacts with the families. It's not just one setting up their date. It's the back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And it's always, I always get to hear their story. And their stories are hard. They're hard to hear. A couple weeks ago, I was crying with a woman on the phone because she was telling me about her cancer and how hard it's been. And what a blessing it is now that she gets a week, because you can stay 6 nights free of charge at Dove's Nest. And she just couldn't believe that this was being offered to families. And many of the families that I talk with, because of the financial burden that having cancer or a life-threatening illness can put on families, many of them tell me, we would not be able to take a vacation. And so here we are offering Dove's Nest free of charge, again, for up to 6 nights. They're able to come to the beautiful Rome area and be in a cabin, look out the windows onto Lake Camelot. We've got a pontoon boat. We've got kayaks. We've got paddle boards. We've got a paddle boat, and the everything right on site for them, so they can come to the cabin, leave their worries behind, and just rest and relax and connect with family. And many of the families have told me it was a time where they weren't poked and prodded and receiving treatment, and they could actually maybe forget that they had the life-threatening illness. The vast majority of the families have cancer, but we have had other life-threatening illnesses like Parkinson's, ALS. We had a little girl who had a rare disease. And so really we're serving many people with who have life-threatening illnesses beyond cancer also. And so it's been really, again, a blessing. I do have a couple quotes from families that I brought along, and one of them is, "There are no words to express our gratitude for this wonderful gift you have provided us." Another is, "The amazing gift of time together as a family with no stress or worries, just time. Watching the kids just get back to kids, being kids for an entire week was priceless." And another one, "No words can describe our gratitude. It's been one of the most relaxing, stress-free, restful 4 days since cancer turned our lives upside down almost 2 years ago." I know. And we have a journal that the families are able to write in. And I don't think that we've had one family who hasn't written in that. So we get to read their stories. And just it's a wonderful organization. It truly is. And I didn't mention the age. A lot of people will ask. Some people have thought it's just for children, but it's not. It is anyone from 0 to 100, I guess. And we've had all ages. I think the youngest we had was a 2-year-old who had the rare brain disease. And then, gosh, I don't know who our oldest one was, probably in their 80s. And so we do serve a wide range of ages. And so it's not just for children. It's not just for adults.
It's a good note to mention, Danita. And just a couple of quick notes I want to get out there real quick. For one, I just love Lake Camelot. You're describing the view and the fact of where this is taking place and everything just is always never lost on me. I love that the area also gets a little bit of attention from something like this. I think it deserves it. I love the Rome area. I love that particular spot of the area. And that's always cool. I don't think I know that I have because, I mean, for one, I'm an empath, but also we've talked a number of times, Danita, and I'm fortunate to have you in studio. So I see the passion in you. I see how much you care about not just this, but in the previous organizations where you work, and you put your heart into your job. Thank you so much for letting us behind the curtain a little bit of how these the kind of logistics of this, mm-hmm. and sharing that with us and the work that you do. There's a lot of people out there that we shout out and we appreciate the work that they do, kind of that we don't get a chance to highlight very often. Those conversations you're having, I don't think a lot of us can relate to. I don't think a lot of us can know what that's like to be on the other end of that phone and the joy and the hurt of both of that, the up and down of that conversation, all that. Thank you. Thank you for that work. Yeah. Thank you to your team over there, everybody at the Dove Foundation for doing the work that they do. I'll probably ramble about this a couple of times, but man, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it is hard sometimes to think of the right words to say. And yeah. A lot of times I just say a prayer and say, just God, just give me the right words to say to this mom, to this dad, or whoever I'm talking to, especially when it's children. Mm-hmm. Those are very hard conversations to have.
We're fortunate that you're doing that work and that we're able to do an event that's coming up. And not just that, the fifth annual one. I know I said this last year, I feel like, too, but I'm still a little surprised. Like, it's surprising and such a great feeling. Like, fifth annual, that's awesome. We have the fifth annual Dove's Nest fundraiser coming up Saturday, May 18th. Let's dive into the event. Let's tell everybody what they have to look forward to at this great event.
Yeah. 5 years, you know, I think of that and think how sad. I mean, Alex has been gone 5 years and that's hard. But what he has left behind, his legacy is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it is a 5-year celebration, really, of Dove's Nest and the families that are able to come and enjoy the cabin and time there. And from year after year after year, we've had amazing sponsors. We've had people that have come together to make this celebration a success. And this year, I would just like to shout out to our sponsors. We've got our, what we call them, Dove's Nest sponsors, mm-hmm. which are $1,000 or more. Ken and Ruth Dove are sponsors. Aaron Whipperfirth, Visit Rome has been an amazing support the Dove Foundation. Rome Realty also, Mobile Veterinary Practice, and Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. Mm. And we have a full list of all of our sponsors on our website. And you can find our website at www.alexcdovefoundation.org. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that C, because lot of people
I've done
do.
That before. Yeah, I've done that. For a beautiful website, too. Everything that you could ask for is right there for you. We'll mention that website name again before we wrap up. A great event. A lot of good. Thank you for mentioning the sponsors that are a part of this. Also, a lot of other great things coming together for this one. You're going to have some great entertainment for this event. I mean, great entertainment.
Like
A-list entertainment. This is pretty nice. You got some good gets here. It kicks off, I see, with DJ Fish from 10 to 4. Still Reckless from 4:30 to 7:30, all great acts. But a local favorite around here and somebody that we've had on the air with us has joined us, talked to a number of times, Chris Cruzy going to be coming to town.
Yes, we are super excited about Chris coming to town, and he's been promoting it on Facebook that he's coming, and we've been promoting it, and we're really hoping that we get a record crowd this year.
And
all of the funds that are raised for this at this fundraiser are for the operations of Dove's Nest. And so if anybody's wondering where does the money go, it's for the operations, just keeping the beautiful cabin in great condition, and just really all the operations, all the funds that it takes to have a nonprofit like this, mm-hmm. loving on families. And so we're excited to have him. We're also going to have food, drinks, and activities. If you've ever been to the fundraiser before, it's always a great time. We've got a large variety of food vendors. We've got a Bloody Mary bar and other beverages. At noon, we've got the registration for the Bean Bags Tournament, which starts at 2. And then we've got the major prize package raffles. And this year, I want to get back to those prize packages, but we've got some really nice ones. In years past, we've had the smaller baskets. And gosh, I think there was hundreds of small baskets.
Yeah, there was a lot of
them. Instead, we're doing larger prizes this year, which is going to be a little bit easier on our end. Mm. We've got Spin the Wheel and Spot Game, Kids Bounce House, Face Painting, and Balloon Creations. And did we say the date?
May 18th.
Okay,
May 18th.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll keep saying it. We'll keep saying it.
Okay.
We'll be promoting it on our morning shows and everything, too. I just real quick do want to send a shout out to all the entertainers that are a part of this event. We're talking, especially in Chris's circumstance, very busy schedule, very booked. To make the time, to make the effort to be a part of something like this shows how much they care about this event, how much they back this event and want to be a part of it, and how much they love this area. I encourage our community to show what we're made of and to be a part of this event, to add to this event if you can. And even if it isn't this event that you can't make it to, there are other opportunities to help the Alex C. Dove Foundation. When we talk about volunteering, when we talk about donations, it's an investment. It's an investment in your community. That's what you're doing with something like this. It is strangers helping strangers in some cases. Some of these families that come and you stay at the Dove's Nest, you may not know them, but you know their stories. You've heard stories like this. You have family members that have similar stories. Here is our opportunity to put back into our state, put back into our community, help locals, all of the above. And just by being a part of this great event and taking in some really good music, some really good food, and not for nothing, you are so right about these prizes, these packages to give away. We have some great sponsors, and you guys do a great job with those baskets and everything. There's a lot of variety down there, a lot of fun.
Yeah. So what we decided this year was that we were going to have prize packages that were valued at between $1,000 and $2,000. And so we've got a tool package with Milwaukee drills and toolbox and a lot of great items in that package. That's over $1,500 worth of tools. We've got a grill package with a Traeger smoker, and that is valued at over $1,300.
Wow.
And we've got a cash package of $1,500. We have an entertainment package that has a 65-inch Samsung smart TV, Bose soundbar, with a lot of other great things, and that's over $1,500. We've got a vacation package, two-night stay for four people at the Wilderness Resort with a lot of other great things in that, and that's valued over $1,500. And then my favorite, of course, is the one that I'm donating. Yeah, we have my husband and I have a vacation rental in Rome. And so I am donating, my theme is Friendships Are Brewing. So I'm donating a three-night stay for three ladies at our vacation rental in the Lake Arrowhead community.
Wow.
And with that, the brewing theme is I'm doing a beer basket, a tea basket, and a coffee basket.
Oh, that's good.
And so my package is going to be worth over $1,500.
Wow.
We've got a water sports package, two kayaks, splash pad, a lot of other great things for over $1,500. We've got a camping package, Weber grilling tools, a lot of other great things. That's over $1,000. The fishing package looks
about that
like our biggest one or our most valued one here. We've got an Elk River custom walleye rod and shock and awe musky rod. Don't know what that is.
It's a nice rod.
But the fishing package is right around $2,000. And we also have a sports package that is worth about $1,700. So that's just a quick run through. You can find out information, more specific information, on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I've been updating the website with our sponsors. All of our sponsors are listed there. And I did want to mention, too, kind of going back to the cabin, that people have asked, how do I apply? And you can go to our website, click on the application, and you can download the application right on our website. It's super, super simple. Mm-hmm. Fill out the application, and maybe one of the hardest things is to wrestle your doctor down and just get their signature on there, just verifying that you have a life-threatening illness. But it's very, very easy to do. I have had people ask how we choose people to stay at Dove's Nest, and everyone who applies and qualifies, if they have a life-threatening illness, we work with them on what dates they would like to come, and everyone that is able to. It's not like a raffle where we're just choosing certain people, or we don't review applications to try to just choose one or another. And we started out during COVID a little bit slow with people coming, and things have really taken off. We are booked from mid-May till mid-October. And we had people come also in the winter. We are open year-round. So please go to our website and download the application and get that into us as soon as possible if you or a family member would like to stay.
That website also has a couple of other opportunities for you on there to not only find out about this event, connect with their Facebook page. You can even tour the cabin itself and check that out and see some of that. I think that is a really neat feature on there, especially for families that are looking at doing this and applying. And again, that application process is right there for you at alexcdovefoundation.org. That's alexcdovefoundation.org. With this event, too, I want to remind everybody, this is such a family event. Like, you and your buddies can go down there and have a good time, too. Bring the family down. This is a great event for that. There's going to be something for everybody to do and a lot of great entertainment at the 5th Annual Dove's Nest Fundraiser going on Saturday, May 18th from 10 to 11 over a beautiful Camelot on the lake at 2298 Leisure Lake Lane in Nacoosa. In Rome. And Danita, if people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of what we talked about today, maybe volunteering, maybe donating, or some of these things, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, probably the easiest way is to email us at alexcdovefoundation@gmail.com. And that's a great way to connect with us. You can also just give me a phone call if that works out better for you. My phone number is 715-570-2283. And if you didn't catch that and you want to just go to the website, the information is on there too. There's a connect area where you can type in a message to us. That's on our website also. And so it's pretty easy to connect with us. I just had a lady tell me the other day that she heard I'm very responsive. So I was like, ooh, that was a win.
That's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. And you are. You are. You're fantastic. Please do us a favor. Say hi to the whole team over there at Dove's Nest and all the good work that you guys do at the foundation. We appreciate you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Find out more information at alexcdovefoundation.org, alexcdovefoundation.org, and be sure to follow them on Facebook. You can just type in your search bar, Alex C. Dove Foundation. It should pop right up for you. And be a part of the event. The Dove's Nest will meet you there at the 5th Annual Fundraiser going on Saturday, May 18th, 10 to 11, over at Camelot on the Lake. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A weather radio should be considered an important piece of your family's safety plan. It's an automated 24-hour emergency source, which is a reliable way to receive weather alerts and information about a storm, tornado, or flood in your area. And if you lose power, these radios have a battery backup. NOAA Weather Radio All Hazards Awareness Day is Wednesday, May 1st. As a Weather Ready ambassador, I suggest taking time to learn how these radios work, whether you are inside or out on your boat or camping. The Wisconsin Emergency Management website is a great place to start. Go to wem.wi.gov. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on Locally Grown Radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump gave an extended defense of his approach to abortion during a campaign rally in Waukesha yesterday. He maintains his true aim is to take the issue away from Washington.
We brought it back into the states where it has to be, and over a period of time that works out. And it's taken a lot of the controversy out, and it's been a good thing. And you also have to remember, as a politician, you also have to get elected.
Some activists say they're disappointed Trump isn't endorsing a nationwide abortion ban. Wisconsin's fishing opener is Saturday. The Department of Natural Resources is warning fishers not to recycle their old fishing lines in their regular recycling. Instead, the DNR recommends bagging old fishing line and taking it to a special fishing line collection center. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a community substance use engagement event later this month in Nakusa. Impact is hosting the event at Humke Elementary on May 13th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. You can learn about substance prevention efforts in the community, the recovery community, harm reduction, and how the youth brain works. They're providing childcare and offering pizza from Polito's and drinks from Starbucks. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department spent the last 2 days working on drills. Yesterday, they practiced with thermal imagers to identify victims in a fire. The scenario involved a multifamily dwelling with fire on the first floor and three people still unaccounted for. From arrival on the scene to being able to find and remove all victims from the building, search both floors twice, and suppress the fire, it only took the crew 23 minutes. These practice sessions help keep muscle memory on critical tasks that help save lives. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Benson and Stabler still haven't kissed, much to the dismay of fans, but viewers might get their wish. The two staples of the Dick Wolf Law & Order franchise have teased fans for the better part of two decades regarding their unrequited romance. Mariska Hargitay says they almost kissed on season 24 in an episode of SVU, but the show's producers bailed at the last minute. When the actors saw that there was nothing written kiss-wise in season 25, they were surprised. Chris Maloney's character, Elliot Stabler, left SVU after 12 years. Now he heads up the cast of the show Law & Order Organized Crime, where there has been lots of crossover with SVU. Hargitay says it still might happen, but they want to hold the tension and do what is realistic for the characters, hinting that fans should not give up yet. There's always season 26, or 27, or 42. The show will never end. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered showers, even a few isolated thunderstorms later this afternoon into tonight. And the rain could be a little heavy at times, a half inch or more possible by the time it winds down late tonight. 59 our high today, 49 tonight, tomorrow sunshine and warmer with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip today for saving on streaming TV. Ever wonder if those streaming companies' whole business model is just luring us in with free trial subscriptions and then making it feel so hard to cancel? Well, spoiler alert, that is exactly what they do. The best way to keep your streaming costs in check is just using some old-fashioned financial elbow grease. Take 20 minutes and have a money meeting with yourself. Look at your bank statements, your credit card bills, make a list of every service you signed up for. And if you are anything like, well, everyone else, there's probably at least one thing you're not using. Cancel it. Anything you haven't watched in the last month, just cancel it. You can always sign back up again. They make that pretty easy. Between now and then, you'll save yourself a bunch of money. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, recombobulation with Dan Schaefer, National Space Day, Bob Bonadour from the Planetarium, and Matinair On Air's new ornithologist. Join us.
Matinair On Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming into the WFHR stage one of our favorite people, Anna Mitchell, with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. She is the Regional Natural Resource Educator over there. Anna, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too, James.
Thanks for being here, as always. Really do appreciate the time you're with us. I know, well, for one, my father loves these interviews, but I know a lot of our listeners really appreciate. Sometimes they're learning things, and sometimes they're hearing something that's kind of confirming things mm-hmm. for them. And then there's talking about subjects that we don't necessarily get a chance to really dive into very mm-hmm. often. That's kind of where we're going today with pollinators.
Yeah, I know pollinators is a really popular topic, but I don't think we dive as deep into it as what we probably should. We just hear save the birds, save the bees, save butterflies, which is wonderful, right? But let's dive into a little bit more of the why and what pollinators are.
You know, and especially with No Mow May going on yeah. for many communities. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I think a lot of us here at the station deal with when we're really promoters, we're really big supporters of No Mow May. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you hear from people, why right. No Mow May yeah. and that. And I think some of this might explain and answer some of that for people.
I sure hope so.
So what are pollinators?
Yeah, so pollinators are anything that help carry pollen from a male part of the flower, known as the stamen, to the female part of another flower, which is known as a stigma.
Mm. So, and I did check. We can say that on the air.
Oh, okay.
Check.
Yeah. So pollinators basically help any plant that needs a kind of flowers or just any pollination to reproduce. Mm. So the movement of this pollen must occur for a plant to become fertilized and produce fruits, seeds, young plants. Mm. Some plants are self-pollinating, while others may be fertilized by pollen carried by the wind or water, but a lot of plants are reliant on pollinators like insects and animals to help them reproduce or produce their fruit. In fact, pollinators enable the reproduction of 85% of all flowering plants and 67% of agricultural crops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking to the importance of pollinators.
Yeah. Because of their importance to the ecosystem, we can refer to pollinators as a keystone species, which means that they're an organism that helps hold the ecosystem together. Mm. So without pollinators, our ecosystems would fall. And they're a keystone species in almost all of our ecosystems in this world.
You know, anybody who's watched a disaster movie, like knows how this goes. Like, you know, if we lose one of these things, and in all seriousness, there's a reason why young in grade school, we learn about the food chain.
Yeah.
And we learn about these things.
Yeah.
I think that as we get older, we might forget some of that stuff, but it's called a chain for a reason.
Right.
Every link matters.
Yeah.
And without missing one, it's not connected.
Right. And those keystone species, man, they are very, they are
really
very important.
When it comes to the reasons for these pollinators, why they are so important,
yeah.
if we could touch a little bit more on that.
Yep, so there's a couple of reasons why we want to think of pollinators as really important. So one that is really relevant to us is food production. Actually, one out of every three bites of food you eat exists because of pollinators and their efforts. Like, I'm just going to say that again. One in three bites of food you eat is because of the work of pollinators.
That's incredible. Thank
so if you. That's not effort enough to reason enough to want to, you know, protect them, I don't know what is.
But
they'll pollinate many plants like our fruits, our vegetables, and our seeds. A short list of crops that are pollinated by bees include apples, bananas, potatoes, coffee, alfalfa, tequila, or agave, and cranberries, which are really relevant to Wood County and here in central Wisconsin.
Yeah. We're not just speaking on the food that you eat, but the food that is produced by this state.
Yeah.
So many of our ag and our farm industry, so much of the economy of this state is built on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then clean air. Pollinators help clean air. So we said that 85% of flowering plants and 60% or 67% of agricultural crops rely on pollinators, which means the more plants we have, the more clean air we have. Not only that, these plants help purify our water, and they also provide us with clean oxygen,
mm-hmm.
which is really important.
And it speaks to how amazing plants are and how amazing all of this process is and everything, that all the different added jobs that they do,
yeah.
along with all the other things that we're touching on here. And there is the economy end of this, too. I was just touching on a little bit there.
Yeah, some of these numbers are going to be pretty mind-boggling. So in the United States alone, pollination by honeybees contributed to over $19 billion of crop production in 2010. I don't know. I couldn't find a current number on what that is, but 10 years, 2010, $19 billion.
If it's anything close to that, you couldn't find a number because we're still counting it. It's that big of a number. It's that big. We haven't stopped yet.
Yeah, yeah. And then along with that, pollination by other insects, besides bees, they've contributed to nearly $10 billion of crop production. So pollinators alone in 2010 contributed a whopping $29 billion to our economy.
Can't even wrap my mind around that. Yeah. That is just incredible.
Yeah.
And I don't know about if the audience is doing this or not, but I know for me, when we're talking about this stuff and you mentioned something like that right there, because of the purpose of this conversation, one of the first thoughts I'm having is, well, what if we didn't have them?
Yeah.
And just boom, like that thought of that $29 billion of economics in this country gone. Gone, along with, of course, other key factors here involving breathing and eating and some other.
Yes.
It's pretty simple stuff that you kind of need to be able to live.
Right.
I love that we're 5 minutes in and we already, I feel like we've already proven the importance of pollinators.
Well,
I should say you have, Anna. You have.
Good.
But we can keep going because I think one of the cool things that we have an opportunity to do here is to get people turned on to this and get people to realize, hey, this involves you too.
Yeah.
And my mother is as she likes to say, a former hippie feminist,
and
talks about that a lot in those days and stuff. Nowadays, I would hope that we're all activists, that we're all caring about our pollinators, that we're all caring about our trees and our environment and everything. There's nothing hippy dippy about the future.
No,
nothing, about caring about our lives and our kids having a future and those kind of things.
No, caring about the natural world and what we live in an ecosystem shouldn't label you as anything. You should just, be stewards of the land. That's what we're here for.
Now, when we're talking about all these things, I think that there is the common pollinators we all know of. But it also helps to get into that a little bit about who are the pollinators.
Yeah, like I said, when we started, we think a lot about bees and butterflies. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more pollinators than that. And I think when we want to kind of list out what would be pollinators, we have to think about how animals pollinate. And then that will be kind of a key hint to who our pollinators are. So a pollinator will visit the flower in search of food, generally nectar and pollen. And during their time at the flower, the pollinator might brush against the flower's reproductive parts. And then unknowingly, they'll go to another flower and deposit the pollen. So
they don't even really realize they're doing
they're just part of what they do, how they're eating, right?
Talk about a happy accident.
Exactly.
That really is great.
Right. So some examples of pollinators, like I said, we commonly think of butterflies and bees, but there are many different kinds of pollinators, like birds, bats, ants, beetles, flies, moths, wasps even are pollinators. Generally, animals or insects that can fly are the most efficient pollinators.
Now, certainly, like you said, the big hitters here we've thought of before, and I've even heard of flies and moths, wasps, those kind of things. But bats, I never heard of that before.
Yep.
I actually, when I got the notes from you, I had to look into it a little bit because I was just so curious.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I feel like we're learning more and more about bats as we're going along here. How important they are.
They're not scary anymore.
They're just kind of a unique part of our culture, part of our life.
They're so underrated.
They really are.
They are so underrated, but they're so important. Like, so important. I think I have a little hint in here later on that I'll give you why bats are important. And it's funny, I think the last time we talked about invasive species. Well, in a conversation since then, I was talking about invasive species and somebody said, oh, bats are invasive. I was like, No, that's a really, really key. Yeah. They're key to a lot of our ecosystems, especially because they're pollinators.
We invite you, bats. Yeah. You're not invasive at all. We're welcoming you. We're inviting you.
Yeah. So besides, you know, the ones we've listed, you know, bats, birds, beetles, et cetera, there are some really unique pollinators in our world. One example, I've got a couple here, but an example is on the island of Madagascar. There are ruffed lemurs, black and white ruffed lemurs, that are the main pollinators for travelers' trees and travelers' palm, which is really interesting because they eat the nectar of those trees, so they're collecting the pollen on themselves and when they go to tree, etc., right? They're pollinating those trees. There's a honey possum in Australia that pollinates the flowers from eucalyptus, which is awesome. Really cool.
Yeah.
Lizards, geckos, and skinks can be pollinators, so those are some of our reptile species. There's a couple in Brazil. And then slugs and gnats can even pollinate. So a really good example locally would be wild ginger. There's been many times where slugs have been seen pollinating wild ginger.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Now, I don't want to get too into the weeds here, no pun intended. But when it comes to how these animals pollinate or how these insects pollinate or anything like that, but I'm imagining that it is a little similar to the bee, they're brushing into it and that kind of thing.
Yep.
So much of this doesn't seem like a design necessarily. It just kind of feels like this is the way that it was all attached and connected. Whether it was intended or not for it to work this way or not, who knows? It's above my pay grade. But it is so cool to kind of step back and see how all of this connects.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
It really is. And it just reminds us again and again how we are all connected.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always, especially in a year and a time like this, to remind people of how, you know, we are more connected than ever.
Yeah.
What about how can you help pollinators?
Yeah, and I really want to focus on this. You know, we talked about pollinators, hopefully got you kind of ramped up to think about pollinators and being excited to protect them or get those gears turning. So you can help protect pollinators whether you live in an urban or rural setting. You know, one of the great things that you can do is you can conduct a habitat assessment on your property. It doesn't matter if it's a lot in town or you've got 600 acres out in the country, right? There's really great assessments that you can do. And these habitat assessments will be a great tool to identify practices where you can improve or they can even confirm practices that you've implemented right now. So the Xerces Society, X-E-R-C-E-S Society, has several different habitat assessment guides for different types of landscapes and for specific insects. If you really like butterflies, cool. They've got a whole habitat assessment on how you can improve your property for butterflies. So they're all on their website and they're really easy to understand. And it's like literally a checklist that you can go through, which is really cool.
My mom was curious about getting hummingbirds in her backyard and went to look into this and everything. It's a really user-friendly kind of site too.
Yeah, it is.
They do a really nice job covering covering all the bases, too, on something like this. We're speaking with Anna Mitchell, Madison Extension Wood County's Regional Natural Resources Educator. And I want to get into landscaping with as far as how we can help pollinators. Mm-hmm. That's a big one as we're getting into our summer months here.
Yep, it is a big one. So I had to limit myself on how much I wanted to suggest for landscaping because there's so much you can do.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to stress, though, is plant native plants. If you are going to landscape, just plant native plants because they're considered the best choice because of their abundance of nectar and pollen for our local pollinators. In addition to that, they're really low maintenance. They're generally pest-free. They're really drought tolerant and they are great at controlling erosion. So if you're living, you know, either way, I don't care where you're living, native plants are good, but especially if you're living on any kind of surface water, like a lake or a stream, river, etc. So when you plant those native plants, I wanted to give some examples so people would know maybe what to look for. So there's three categories that we're going to focus on. One is pollinator superfoods. These are phenomenal food sources for our pollinator species in Wisconsin. And some of those plants include milkweed, bee balm, goldenrod, and asters. Those are just a couple. Like I said, the Xerces Society has really good resources to dive into this a little bit deeper. But those are just four species that we can start with, right? food for specialist bees. So these are bees that are local and they need like a specific plant in order to eat. So some of those are lead plant, partridge pea, wild lilac, and dogwood. So like I said, these plants provide food for our native bees who are specialists that only collect pollen and other resources from these specific plants.
You know, when you do these things and you plant these, you're really going to see some of the effects of this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the cool things about this. I've seen videos of people that do this before and after kind,
yeah,
of stuff, and it's really unique to see. And it really adds to the life of their lawn, the,
yeah,
life of their backyard, if,
right,
you will, or anything.
If you don't, I mean, the maintenance of it, too, drastically,
yeah,
reduces. Yep, these plants, sometimes, you know, native plants, you have to take effort to plant them. But after that, they are really, really low maintenance. And the beauty that you will see to your property is, if you're driving and you see a prairie with it just beautiful, beautiful blooms, it's wonderful. Like, me being me, would prefer that over some of our, you know, ornamental plants, but that's just me.
And I do want to say something here, and this is just me speaking, but when it comes to, we're going to get into lawn and yard, mm-hmm, care a little bit more, mm-hmm, and everything. And if you ask anybody, why do we mow our lawns? You don't know, do you?
Aesthetics.
We've always done it. We've,
yeah,
just always done that. But there's no rhyme or reason to it other than, like Anna said, there are aesthetics and everything.
Code if you live in town.
Sure, sure. But why we have that code and why we,
yeah,
have these things,
yeah,
and what is beautiful? What is, you know, beautiful to one is not to another,
yeah,
and everything. We,
yeah,
get that as far as people. Lawns shouldn't be that different. It shouldn't be that big of a leap to make that going forward, it shouldn't be just made. That,
yeah,
we see these things.
Right, right.
It's just about aesthetics. And to me, I'm with you, Anna. I think that a lawn that has some healthy life to it and everything,
yeah,
I drive past that, I'm staring at that. I see another lawn that's just mowed, like,
yeah,
big deal. I've seen that all the time. I like seeing this. I think it brings personality to your lawn, to your house, to your yard, to your life.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because, so my husband and I rent right now. We don't own a home. We're currently in the process, mm-hmm, of looking for one. Thank,
yeah,
you. But we have lawn envy is what we say. We'll drive past people's houses. It's like, you know, to each their own. But,
mm-hmm,
a yard that's beautiful and big, and it's just mowed. And Hunter and I both look at it and we're like, oh, the things that we could do,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the plants, we would just let it grow and to natives and be so beautiful. And then the diversity you would see, you know,
yeah,
to take pride in providing back to our ecosystem is really cool.
Yeah, and that yard work that you guys are dreaming about,
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about,
yeah,
some of that. Let's get into some of that lawn and,
yes,
yard,
for,
care,
sure, yeah. Yep. So there's a couple of things you can do if you have a lawn and, you know, you want to care for pollinators. So one easy thing is if you leave your leaf litter on site, you're providing habitat for pollinators. This is really important in the spring too, when they're re-emerging. They need that habitat. There's not a lot out there right now. So if you can just wait a little while to rake, that would be wonderful for pollinators.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, you can use that leaf litter as mulch in other parts of your property.
Mm-hmm.
Compost it. You don't even have to compost it. Just,
yeah,
leave it as mulch. It'll decompose and it'll put nutrients back into your flower beds, etc., garden. You can reduce your mowing frequency and increase your mowing height. And that'll allow some weeds to flower, which would be a food source, right? We think of our dandelions.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants dandelions.
Mm-hmm.
They are a food source, though. They,
yeah,
are a food source for our pollinators. Here's the bat thing. You can install bat boxes.
Oh, I want to do this.
You
should. So cool.
You should. They're really cool. Like we said, bats are great pollinators, but they're also really, really, really great pest control for unwanted bugs.
Mm-hmm.
So some scientists have discovered that some small bat species, can catch up to 1,000 or more small insects in a single hour.
That's impressive.
That's your mosquitoes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the first thing I thought of. Yeah.
If there's a mother bat who's nursing, that's been proven that they can catch up to 4,000 small insects an hour.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, taking a moment, that's incredible.
Provide those bat boxes.
Yeah.
If you have a water feature, like, just a bird bath or any kind of water feature, put some stones in it so that your pollinators, like your bees, your insects that pollinate, they can land on that and drink without
drowning.
Oh, yeah.
That is such a simple way to help pollinators.
Oh, God, I feel like I should have thought of that years ago. Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, that's really good.
Just a small stone.
Yeah.
So just also limit your use of pesticides. So a healthy yard with the appropriate plant and species, especially natives and their abundance, will bring pollinators in, and then they will be your pest control.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have to spend money on the pesticides. If you're bringing in your native pollinators, a lot of them are carnivorous as well. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say carnivorous because not just, know, meat, but they will eat other insects. And generally those are your pest insects that they're going to eat.
You're saving money while helping the environment.
Yep.
I mean, boom, boom. There's win-win-win kind of situations. Anna, as we're wrapping up here, mm-hmm. just a couple minutes left, we want to encourage people to get involved on this and how they can.
Yep, for sure. So I did some digging. I know May is right around the corner, right? Mm. Tomorrow, actually. Yeah, well, yeah.
It's May.
It's May. Anyway.
It's a pretty, they already know it's pre-recorded. That's okay.
It's May. No Mow May. Mm-hmm. So in the city of Wisconsin Rapids, the Common Council adopted a resolution to designate May of 2024 as No Mow May.
Mm-hmm.
So the code for May, you won't get fined if you don't mow your grass.
Yes,
you have to come back into compliance after May.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you want to participate in No Mow May, you can actually stop at the mayor's office on the third floor of City Hall and get a free No Mow May sign for your yard, as long as, you know, they have some left there.
Yeah.
But, you know, each property owner that participates can stop and get a free sign.
Yeah.
And then you're voicing to your neighbors what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. And then you're getting others curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
So not only that, we can create and advocate for habitat in our community hubs, like our libraries, schools, senior centers, or any yet unused spaces like our sidewalk mediums. If you have some kind of like pollinator system, or you're improving habitat for pollinators in your yard, put signage up so people know, especially if you're in town. There's a house by me and they have signage up, and we walked past that the other day and I was like, good on you guys. That's really cool. And then host a tour. If you have like a really pollinator friendly yard, host a tour, invite people over.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yep.
And there's always educating yourself as you wrap up with. I mean, that's an important one. You yourself can do so much homework and go down your own rabbit hole and discover so many of these things that I've been able to, thanks to people like Anna, but more so you can do. It's great to have an Anna if you can, but you don't need that. You can do it yourself.
Yep.
We've got these great supercomputers we walk around with every day, and you can look up anything on. And any of the things that we have talked about today, I encourage you to look into and find out more and research a bit more. And Anna, if people do have follow-up questions, want to know some more, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can stop into the extension office at the Wood County Courthouse, or you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
Always a good time talking with you. Thank you so much for the time and all you put into our community, Anna. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Keldo Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest, because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin rapper Matt Harper, who will perform in studio, and then comedian, comedy teacher, and screenwriter Rich Williams joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
How is your drive to school?
Let me tell you.
I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We're following breaking news out of Arizona, where the state's 1864 abortion law is now officially a thing of the past.
Today, we are doing what 23 governors and 55 legislatures refused to do. And I'm so proud to be the ones that got this job done.
Governor Katie Hobbs signing away the controversial law after state lawmakers voted to repeal it. The LAPD's cleared protest encampments at UCLA after two violent days of demonstrations. KNX radio reporter John Baird is there.
200 of them or so were actually arrested, put in zip ties, and put on a sheriff's department bus and hauled away.
More than a dozen protesters were also arrested today at Portland State University. Meantime, protesters in Israel are now pushing for their government to agree to a ceasefire and hostage deal with Hamas.
Bring our people home. 133 people is still in Gaza. We want this to be over.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see the queen of my dreams, which is a beautiful